Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me? You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Jump into the epic world of Avatar: The Last Airbender
with Nickelodeon's official companion podcast, Avatar: Brave and the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Listen to Avatar: Brave and the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
It's The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
Welcome back, everybody. Folks, my guest tonight is a talented actress who's won an Emmy and two Tonys and now stars in the new HBO series, The Gilded Age. Please welcome back to The Late Show, the delightful Christine Baranski. What's happening, hot stuff? Nice to have you back.
It's lovely to be back. Gosh.
Yeah.
I just want to say to this audience, thank you so much for observing the protocols and wearing this mask, but showing up and supporting theater in New York.
Yeah. Very lucky. Very lucky to have an audience like this.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
You grew up in Buffalo, New York.
I did.
And how much after all these years, because you kind of scream Manhattan at this point, how much Buffalo girl is left in you?
You know, everybody thinks this is, you know, this sophisticated lady, this New York type, these characters that I play. They think that's me. They should be in a room alone with me when I watch the Buffalo Bills. It is loud.
Great season.
Loud. Great season. It is a great season. And growing up in Buffalo, you have to understand, we lived through four consecutive Super Bowl losses. Mm-hmm. So I have a T-shirt that says, Buffalo, a drinking town with a football problem. But this year they're having a great year, and you know, there was the wild card game last Sunday. They beat New England, and
yeah.
I mean, these are people who will sit in the stands for hours in sub-zero temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're from Buffalo, you know you are a survivor. You know how to, you know, endure. Yeah. Go Bills!
Do you remember what it felt like to first come down to the city? I certainly remember my first, like, walking around by myself in New York, what that felt like. Do you remember that feeling?
When I was accepted at Juilliard, I was so excited about being in New York. I remember staying with my uncle in Long Island and taking a train into the city, and I'd get off at Penn Station. Mm-hmm. Penn Station, you know. It's not Grand Central.
Not glamour. No.
But I would walk to Juilliard up 8th Avenue, and it could have been the Champs-Élysées. I was like, 8th Avenue, wow.
Wow. Those are New York hookers. That's a New York rat.
Yeah. I thought every aspect of it was incredible. It was great I didn't get hit by a car. I was just so excited about being in New York, and I hope young people who come here still feel that way, because
greatest city in the world.
It's still a place that people come to make their dreams come true, which is why you have to show up at theaters and keep supporting these artists.
We have to take a quick break, but stick around. When we come back, I'll ask Christine about what it was like to be friends with Stephen Sondheim.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat Your breakfast for lunch, is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into for breakfast. Or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
One of the things that you and I have bonded on in the past is our mutual love of Stephen Sondheim. And we have not had a chance to talk since Steve died. And I was lucky enough to get to know him a little bit, but you were a friend of his. And I'm just curious, to those of us who really only know him as this genius who changed a form, what was he like to have as a dear friend?
Let me just start by saying how fortunate I was to have worked with him over the years on many different musicals, oddly enough, never on Broadway, but workshops and full productions at Kennedy Center. So I knew him indeed as Steve Sondheim, the genius. But I think it was after Into the Woods, Meryl and I, you know, worked with him on Into the Woods. And Meryl lives up in Connecticut, and I live in the town next door to Steve. And I said, why don't we just knock on his door and take him out to dinner? So we did take him out several times to an inn in Connecticut. And the last time was this past summer. And we took him out. And for years, I had wanted to tell him about a dream that I had, and it's my favorite dream that I've ever had. Do you have actors' nightmares or?
I do sometimes. Yeah.
We all have these nightmares. Do you, John? Do you have musicians' nightmares?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, it's usually for actors where you're naked on stage and you don't know your lines, or it's some form of
opening night, and you're not aware that you've been cast in.
It's an anxiety dream of some sort. Anyway, I had this dream back in 2006. I was doing a French farce with Mark Rylance, and it was we needed more rehearsal. We needed more previews, and they weren't going to give it to us because they were opening for the Tonys. So it was like, okay, we were just all very nervous. And I had this actor's dream, and for years I wanted to tell it to Steve because to me it was so special. I thought, I can't tell Stephen Sondheim my dream, and I don't know him well enough, whatever. Anyway, at this dinner, which turned out to be my final dinner with Steve this summer, I said, we were at his house having drinks before dinner, and I said, you know, Steve, I've always wanted to tell you this. So he said, no, go ahead, tell me. And the dream is this. I'm in a large, large rehearsal hall. It's almost like a sound stage, and there are these huge set pieces that are almost like the size of a T-Rex, and you know, there are a lot of people around, but I see Pierce Brosnan, and I think, oh, okay, I must be in a musical.
From his work in Mamma Mia?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, suddenly I hear a voice saying, please evacuate the building. There is a nuclear attack imminent. And I'm like, oh, my God, I've got to get home. So I leave this rehearsal building, and I'm running down the street, and then I think, oh, my God, I've forgotten my handbag. I can't get a cab. I can't do anything without my handbag. And I thought, I'll somehow get to a bank, and the bank will give me money, and then I'll be able to get home somehow. Anyway, I'm racing down the street, and who do I see but Stephen Sondheim? I say, Steve, can you believe this? You know, it's like, I said, this is so scary. And I said, yeah. I said, I'm going to the bank. Where are you going? And he said, oh, I'm going to the bank as well.
So you're telling this to Stephen Sondheim.
I'm telling this to Stephen Sondheim, and there's an imminent nuclear attack. But while we're walking, I have to tell him. how much I admire his work and what it's meant to me to have been in so many of his musicals. We're about to be nuked. So we get to the bank. We get to the bank and I get in line. I'm like, I just got to get home somehow. It's a nuclear attack. And what do I see? But Steve Sondheim is sitting behind a desk at the bank. And I didn't know Steve Sondheim was a banker. And then he catches mine and says, come here. So he gets me to the front of the line. He says, don't worry about it. I said, Steve, I don't have any identification. I don't have my job. He said, please, I know who you are. I'll look up your account. I said, Steve Sondheim's looking up my account. Don't you love dreams? I'm looking up my account. And he said, yeah, you have this checking account here, but Christine, there's this savings account here. It's never been touched. And I said, what? He said, yeah, there's hundreds of thousands of dollars in this account. You didn't know about it? I said, no, really? And that's when I wake up.
You didn't get the number? You get the routing number? So you tell him.
I tell him, and he laughed, and he said, that's your creative life. He said, you didn't realize your own potential as a performer and as a singer, right? You had all this money in the bank. So I was so happy to tell him that, because when I worked with Steve, I felt I had to really rise to the occasion. You know, his work demands so much, and it's such a privilege. So I did. I got to tell Steve Sondheim my dream.
And you still have time to cut those checks.
More with Christine Baranski after this.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Your new project is you are in Julian Fellowes, the guy who created Downton Abbey, on HBO. It's called The Gilded Age, and it's about late 1880s.
1882.
In New York, which is when, we're kind of in another Gilded Age right now.
I know. I was watching you tell,
about all those rich,
and I thought that we're going through another Gilded Age. I mean, unbridled wealth. But the Gilded Age was just after the Civil War, and it really was the beginning of American capitalism.
And we have a clip here. Can you explain what's happening here with your character explaining the rules?
I think, well, my character is, of course, old money. Mm-hmm. It's like old money was, we got here before you did, so we're closing the door on you. You can't come to our club. But she's rather horrified by the new money, because there's a huge mansion being built directly across the street. It would be like a Trump hotel being built across from my brownstone. You know, I'm absolutely horrified. But my niece comes to live with me because she got no money from her father, and she has to come to New York and live with her two aunts, one of whom is myself, and the other is Cynthia Nixon's character, Ada. Anyway, I tell her about old New York, that she is, in fact, from old New York, and that we don't associate with the new people.
Jim?
Now, you need to know, we only receive the old people in this house, not the new, never the new.
What's the difference?
The old have been in charge since before the revolution. They ruled justly until the new people invaded.
It's not quite as simple as that.
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm new. I've only just arrived.
Marian, never mind that the Brooks have been in Pennsylvania for a century and a half. My mother, your grandmother, was a Livingston of Livingston Manor, and they came to this city in 1674. You belong to old New York, my dear, and don't let anyone tell you different. You are my niece, and you belong to old New York.
It's worth the ticket. It is worth the ticket just for the wardrobe and the locations.
Indeed. And nobody writes a snob like Julian Fellowes. I'm so... I've got the huge costumes and the witheringly snobbish lines. It's
Are absolutely... they accurate, those costumes? Because there's like corsets and all that.
It's completely accurate. Right. And it's gobs of fabric. It's as though you took your grandmother's floor-to-ceiling velvet curtains and wrapped them around your body and you carry them around. It's like really... huge amounts of fabric and beading and wigs. And
how long does it take? Like, what is the corset like? Because, I mean, obviously I'm wearing Spanx right now, but you're actually like drawn into these corsets and everything?
Yeah, they put it on you and then they keep pulling and pulling and pulling. And they'll say, is it too tight? And you'll say, no, I think it's okay, because of course you're a woman and you want your waist to look. So no, keep going. It's fine. Really? Are you sure? Oh yes. I'll tell you if it's. You're sure you can breathe? Oh yes. No, I can breathe. And so you get into this thing, and then you show up on the set, and maybe 2 hours later you go, I can't breathe. But it is what it is. It's those women. They actually. Society was very tight and pulled in, and so were their clothes.
What if you, have to answer nature's call? How long does that take?
That, they didn't factor that in, you know.
Back then, they
have
didn't do
these,
it.
They
were above it.
We had these huge costumes, but we were on a soundstage that didn't have any ladies' or men's rooms. We had to go, we had to leave the soundstage and cross the street and go to a porta potty. Now, you've been in porta potties, right? They're about this big. So you'd go in with your
and you have a bustle.
Bustles and petticoats and you like hoist it up and you're in this tiny stall and then you'd just hope to God you could strategically aim and, you know, keep your costume dry, but, you know,
good luck.
It's a champagne problem, you know.
Yes. Christine, lovely to have you again. Thanks you so much for being here.
Oh, my gosh, it's a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on Wondery Plus, starting May 1st.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Pod Show listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.